Today is Laetare Sunday, the fourth Sunday in Lent, and here are the announcements. After Mass today, we'll have blessing of articles at the communion rail. And then right after Mass today, as you all know, there will be the bake sale sponsored by our community. So you can, if you have your items, food items, if you haven't brought them there already, to make sure they're there and priced. And remember that the donations go to our community, but it helps support us, but especially for the needs of the chapels, such as paying for candles, altar breads, the altar wine. This evening there will be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. Then tomorrow there will be the Mass at 8:30 a.m., followed by cleaning of the chapel and the hall. And we want to thank those who help us out in that regard week by week. We appreciate that. You get a reward in heaven for cleaning God's house. This Wednesday, we'll have the talk on the Catholic faith from 6:45 p.m. to 7:45 p.m. in the hall. And this week, we will be continuing the instructions from the Baltimore Catechism number 3 with lessons 27 and 28, explaining the sacrifice of the Mass and Holy Communion. Most of you know this, but they are available, these talks. They're being recorded and they are available on YouTube. So we are using them to instruct the faithful and catechumens around the world. Friday, we'll have Stations of the Cross at 7 p.m., followed by benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, and then confessions after that. If you wish to donate for the Easter lilies, there is a paper in the vestibule to sign. If you wish to donate for that. A few other points. Now, this Sunday, which we'll explain in fairly great detail of what's going on in terms of the color. But just this one point, the middle of Lent was last Thursday. It's called Mid-Lent Thursday. And the reason is because in the early church, the fasts and Lenten practices were far more rigorous. And it was, people performed them, but it was a trial. And so when they saw a halfway point, they were happy. They've made it halfway through. They're committed and promised penances for Lent. Well, the celebration and the rejoicing from last Thursday is transferred to this Sunday, Laetare Sunday. So that's why there is the color rose. Now, if you can believe it, in 3 weeks is Easter Sunday. We're at the halfway point, as I said. So now it's time to take stock. What have we been doing during Lent? Have we been faithful to our promises, our commitments for daily penance, daily prayer, almsgiving, spiritual reading, instructions? An excellent Lenten practice is to go to the Wednesday evening talks, to hear the catechism, the doctrine of the faith, explained in a very detailed manner. But also, how about reminder, assistance at daily Mass. That is the greatest practice you can perform during Lent, to go to extra Masses. Needless to say, the attendance at stations has been excellent, but I'm sure there's some of you who are not able to come or something got in the way. So there are two more Fridays, this Friday and the following Friday, to attend these beautiful Lenten ceremonies and practices. There are just two feasts this week. St. John Damascene is tomorrow, the 27th of March. Great doctor of the church in the Greek church, the East, in the 8th century. And just another testimony, he's one of the more celebrated doctors of the church. But remember who these doctors of the church and church fathers are. They're called fathers of the church. And they were giants in the faith, saints. Most of them were saints. Some were not. Some, can you believe it, died outside the church. Now, how does that work? Did you have a father of the church and he dies outside the church? And the example is the great theologian Tertullian wrote and spoke, but wrote many great works defending the Catholic faith, but got off the right path. But he's still quoted for what he did. Maybe he was saved. But these saints, these fathers of the church, did not invent or preach new doctrine. All they did was explain in greater detail and depth what the church had always taught from our Lord and the apostles. So the most celebrated, of course, are saints like St. Augustine or St. Thomas Aquinas. But one thing the church declares is that when the fathers of the church, who would preach, but everything they expounded upon and what we have is what they wrote and copies of what they wrote. When they spoke unanimously or almost unanimously on some point of doctrine or an explanation of doctrine, it's considered infallible. That's called the teaching magisterium of the church, the authority of the church to teach. So the magisterium of the church is infallible. If someone teaches other than that, then they are not, they have the minority opinion. If they're good, holy, sincere, and a saint, they abandon their opinion and submit to the authority of the church. That's what it means to be a good Catholic. And then the other saint, St. John Capistran, on March 28th. He lived in the 1400s. Could spend a half an hour explaining his exciting life, but he was a priest who was on fire for defending the faith, and he led armies carrying a cross and the banner, led armies against the enemies of the church. St. John Capistran also was a member of the Inquisition. Now most of you have heard of that organization or institution. What you heard and what you've heard, the horrible propaganda about it, was created, if you don't know this, in the early part of the 20th century writings, but especially Hollywood put out movies in the 20s and 30s, creating a horrible impression of what the Inquisition is. It existed. It's called formally the Inquisition of the Holy Office, and all it means is to inquire about certain people who were teaching and promoting heresy. Now, it wasn't that they were just believing this, but what they were, and the reason they were arrested and brought before the Inquisition, was to ask them, what are you teaching, what are you believing, but why are you infiltrating the church, the Catholic Church? That's what these men were doing. So they would be asked questions, and sometimes they would confess, and other times they wouldn't. And so some of these heretics, or these people preaching these evil words, were arrested and put on trial before St. John Capistran and other priests. So just to explain those points. And that is all the announcements, and now we'll read the epistle for today's Mass. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Galatians. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a slave girl and the other by a free woman. And the son of the slave girl was born according to the flesh, but the son of the free woman in virtue of the promise. This is said by way of allegory, for these are the two covenants, one indeed from Mount Sinai, bringing forth children unto bondage, which is Agar. For Sinai is a mountain in Arabia which corresponds to the present Jerusalem and is in slavery with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren, thou dost not bear. Break forth and cry, for thou dost not travail, for many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that has a husband. Now we, brethren, are the children of the promise, as Isaac was. But as then he was born according to the flesh, persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave girl and her son, for the son of the slave girl shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Therefore, brethren, we are not children of a slave girl, but of the free woman, in virtue of the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. At that time, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias. And there followed him a great crowd because they witnessed the signs he worked on those who were sick. Jesus therefore went up the mountain and sat there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. When therefore Jesus had lifted up his eyes and had seen that a very great crowd had come to him, he said to Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? But he said this to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough for them, that each one may receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, There is a young boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? Jesus then said, Make the people recline. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore reclined in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, distributed them to those reclining, and likewise the fishes, as much as they wished. But when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather the fragments that are left over, lest they be wasted. They therefore gathered them up, and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. When the people, therefore, had seen the sign which Jesus had worked, they said, This is indeed the prophet who has come into this world. So when Jesus perceived that they would come to take him by force and make him king, he fled again to the mountain, himself alone. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So with this beautiful Sunday, Laetare Sunday, here's what we'd like to speak to you about. Laetare means, in Latin, it's the imperative, meaning it's a command to rejoice, to be happy. Now why? With all our crosses and sufferings and in the middle of Lent. Well, as I said before, we're halfway through Lent. And we have to keep pressing on and persevering in our Lenten duties. The color rose, as it is on the vestments here, on the altar, the flowers, that is a mitigated violet. It's not white or gold, which means joy and great celebration and glory as comes on Easter, but it means rejoicing in the midst of our sufferings and penances. Remember, every cross that we get, every suffering, comes from God. Now, does that surprise you? It's been like that from the beginning of mankind. The sufferings that the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph experienced, we just had their two great feasts, those were all destined for them from Almighty God to help them not to make up for their sins, but for our sins, imitating our Lord, and to be abandoned to God's will from moment to moment, whatever circumstances come. Now, the epistle, we have this somewhat difficult to understand epistle of St. Paul, but he's giving an allegory. But what it comes down to is this. Abraham had these two sons, but one was from his wife and one was from a slave girl, because Abraham had relations with this slave girl, this servant girl, because his wife was barren for a time. What St. Paul is doing is taking this story that happened to Abraham and making an example or an allegory for us, which is this, that the children of the slave girl are under bondage. The children of the free woman are free themselves. The children of the slave woman are the chosen people who are meant to be free, but who rejected the teachings of Christ. So St. Paul is telling the people of Galatia, reminding them that the Jewish people in their town, in their country, who are rejecting the teachings of Christ, are in trouble because they are slaves not only of themselves, but they've become slaves of the devil because they have denied what our Lord has said for them. He came first for them, his own people. Our Lord was Jewish. The Blessed Mother was Jewish. Saint Joseph was. Saint John the Baptist, all these people. And they have all these examples. And many people, many of the Jewish people, the Hebrews followed the truth, but many did not. And so Saint Paul is warning them, don't be part of that clan, that group. He says, "We, brethren, are children of the promise, as Isaac was." The promise of Christ to save us if we're faithful to him and what he taught. "But as then he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit." See, the son of Agar, the slave woman, persecuted the son of the free woman. So Isaac, who was this son, was bullied. Maybe that was the first time there was bullying in the history of the human race. And so the Jewish people sometimes persecute or bully the Christians. It happened in St. Paul's time. In fact, St. Paul himself was doing it. He was rounding them up and killing them. So he was on both sides. He knows the story. But he was given a great gift of grace to convert to Christ. He thought he was so important that, as we've said many times before, when he's going with his fellow soldiers on horseback, he was struck down off his high horse, literally, and God spoke to him. Our Lord physically came there and said, "Why do you persecute me?" And from that moment, St. Paul, who was Saul, he was changed. Now we get those graces too. Everyone here can remember some moment, maybe recently in the past, of being warned, maybe a car accident or some close call or whatever, and said, I've got to take my life seriously. I have to do something. I have to take stock of where my life is going. But most of the time, the next day or two passes by, and then we say, "Well, I'll put that off. I don't really need to do that right now. I'll wait until I get older. I'm kind of busy right now, so I'll worry about saving my soul next year, or next week, or next Sunday, or tomorrow." And it happens that souls either suffer, they die and go to purgatory and have a great suffering, or they lose their souls in hell because they were presumptuous. They presumed on God's mercy when they did nothing to save themselves. Remember, we have free wills. That's a gift God gave us. He does not force us to go to heaven. It's a gift. So we have to do our part. Well, what the church does, the heavenly Jerusalem, is where we're headed. The earthly Jerusalem, which exists today, that is for those who are rejecting Christ. But the heavenly Jerusalem is symbolized by the color rose, by the roses, the flowers, and especially today, the golden rose, because what the church did centuries ago, but even as late as the 1930s, they would take a real rose and it'd be dipped in gold, and then it would be blessed, and the Pope would give it to a Catholic monarch of Europe, and there'd be a procession. These two, on either side of the tabernacle, you can see the roses there. Those are actually real roses dipped in 24 karat gold. And they were given to us many years ago by one of you sitting in the chapel right now as a gift to God and to the community. Now the gospel, briefly, connected to this, is you have this wonderful miracle of Christ. Thousands of people are following him. And why are they following him? It says because he's performing signs and miracles. So maybe they wanted to be cured, or maybe they wanted to see something fantastic. They didn't have the best of motives. But at least they were following him. And so, after preaching to them, and as we've mentioned before, the reason he performed these miracles, whether it was for one person, some illness or affliction, or a huge miracle like the upcoming one with the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, it was meant to confirm and give testimony to what he was saying. He didn't do it to show off or to be a magician and get applause. In fact, it says at the very end of the gospel that they wanted to make him the ruler and their king, and that was not the time for that. And he went away alone to pray. But this gospel relates the story where they were following him into the desert, and they were so caught up with what he was saying and what he was doing that they didn't bring provisions for themselves except a few of them. So a boy had a few barley loaves and fishes. And he asked his apostles, how are we going to feed them? Now, of course, he knew what he was going to do. That's what the gospel says. So he told the apostles, tell them, have them all recline. That means sit down in the grass. And then he took the loaves and fishes from this boy that were brought to him by Andrew, the apostle, and he blessed them. And then he took them and started giving them to the apostles, and he said, give them and start feeding the people. And as he gave the loaves and fishes to each of the apostles, they kept multiplying in our Lord's hands and in the hands of the apostles, because they fed 5,000 men, not including women and children. So it could have been 10, 15,000 people there. And he fed them through the apostles, and the apostles fed them while they were reclining, meaning that's where we get that when we come to receive the Holy Eucharist, which this miraculous multiplication of loaves and fishes represents, we kneel before our Lord. We don't stand, we don't put our hands out, and never, ever does a Catholic touch the Holy Eucharist with his or her fingers. The priest feeds you just like the apostles fed the people. And so this, in conclusion, this miracle is meant as a reminder to keep ourselves spiritually fed during Lent. Don't make yourselves hungry for God's gifts. We have Sunday mornings, Saturday mornings, Saturday evenings, year-round confessions, and then during Lent, Friday evenings after stations of benediction. So it's a 2-for-1 when you come on Fridays. If you need to go to confession or want to go to confession, the priest is there waiting for you. Christ is waiting to hear your sins, to say you're sorry, so that you are worthy as much as possible to receive the miraculous bread, the Holy Eucharist, which is denied to so many. So this is why, going all the way back to the announcements, that's why we have the bake sale today. So that right after Mass, in a much more mundane way, you can be fed, but you can rejoice on this Sunday. And you can reflect on what we've said today and hopefully put it into practice. And that will be my prayer, and I hope you'll pray with me. That'll be intention to really take your faith seriously in terms of your Lenten practices, preparing for Easter. May God bless you.